I will inherit the world, and I'll die in America.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another Defender 7 Monday Night Broadcast with your hosts, Colonel Kimberly Purvis, Lieutenant General Christopher Weathers, and I'm your co-host and general of the Defender 7, Bobby Ormsby. Before we get on with our show, I need to read a disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed on Defender 7 radio show and Facebook page are those of the callers and or authors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Defenders 7. Now, that being out of the way, for those of you new just tuning in, we also have a website. If you type in all lowercase letters, www.defenders, Roman numeral V as in Victor, with two small I's, on our website, you'll find that we have a store and a donate button. Now, 100% of all proceeds from sales from our store and any donations we bring in go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in the time of need. So please, by all means, purchase something or hit that donate button. Help us to help you and your communities when shit hits the fan or a natural disaster hits. Now, we can be reached on our national Facebook page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. That's Defenders, Roman numeral V as in Victor, with two large I's. Now, before you click on that join button, just know we expect all of our members and future members to participate in all that we do throughout the Defender 7. If you feel it's not the type of group you want to be along to, you can always leave with no hard feelings. And we're on MeWe. Click on organizations and scroll down to Defenders 7 Humanitarian American Patriot Group. And thanks to your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis, is doing a bang-up job on our YouTube channel. Check that out, too, and be sure to click subscribe for us. Show your support. Now, for all the shows that we do here on Blog Talk Radio, we enjoy it when you call in. Give us your thoughts, your opinions. Everybody's opinion counts. You will never be downgraded for it. And that number to call, area code 914-205-5773. Again, that number to call to participate, area code 914-205-5773. And allow me to turn the microphone over to your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis. Good evening.
Hello.
And I believe we also have
huh? Slacker number one.
I don't remember that number. I think so. Yeah, it is.
Who is it?
It's Lorna Munson, captain of Wisconsin.
Well, all be
damned.
AKA
Slacker.
Yeah, whatever.
So how is everybody doing?
Hanging in there.
Pretty good. I didn't crack a rib.
Well, that sucks.
No, I didn't.
Did
so
you hear?
It's a good thing.
Oh, I thought you said you cracked a rib.
No, I did not
Uh-oh.
Crack a rib. It was
oh,
close.
Did you guys hear about the chemical plant in northern Illinois that exploded?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was quite a few explosions around the world today.
Really?
Quite a few. Yep.
What kind of explosions?
Also, it was a chemical plant. I saw a video on it and thought it was kind of odd. And then, what you call it, there's a nuclear power plant that's currently leaking radiation in China right now. And it's pretty bad, they said. So we shall see what happens. It depends on where it's at.
I don't think they ever cleared up the last leak that they had at their nuclear plant in China.
Which one was that?
It was a couple years ago when they had that underground nuclear shit going on.
Let's see. Hold on. What? Yeah, well, I could spell. Hold on. I could spell really slow. Let's see. It's
The one in Taishan.
That's where it's at. Okay, it says China nuclear power, nuclear plant leak response evokes Chernobyl. Yeah, they're saying it's going to be as bad as Chernobyl. So we'll see. But they're denying it, but I guess you can't really do anything about it. But the other thing is, okay, so we all know that today's the 14th. The audit in Arizona is done, but they haven't released everything about it. Just so we know, there's 200,000 votes, ballots missing. And there's a lot of fraud, they said. So 13 states have gone to Arizona because they're going to now do an audit. Parts of Michigan is going to do one. Georgia's doing the whole entire state. I think Pennsylvania, and I don't know what other states are going to be doing it. But here's the thing. Mitch McConnell, Rand Paul, and somebody else in the Senate said that they don't care how much fraud is found, they will not vote to or do whatever they have to do to get rid of the electoral votes. They said they don't care. So, and that's when Ron DeSantis called each and every one of them and told them that you better do your damn job. So we shall see what happens. with all of that. So, anybody have anything else before we get started?
I don't.
Because everyone talks too much? Okay. We said, what the hell, let's do a history and the decline and fall of empires. I thought it was pretty cool to go ahead and why there's a rise in empires. And many superpowers have risen and fallen over time. The Romans, the Greeks, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, plus a lot more. The ancient Egyptian Empire suffered a fall of epic proportions after the 25th dynasty. Pianchi, Shabaka, and Takara were the rulers of this dominating dynasty. Black people have not experienced superpower status since that time. Why did the other empires fall? Between 1776 and 1788, Edward Gibbons published a huge six-volume work entitled The History and the Fall of the Decline of the Roman Empire. It thoroughly covered a period of history spanning approximately 1,200 years. His goal in producing this study was precisely catalog the reasons for the rise of the Roman Empire and the factors that led up to the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. So while a few agree entirely with some of the contents of his work, he was universally hailed as achieving his objective brilliantly. There's a lot of different reasons why an empire will fall. So they may even blame the introduction of Christianity for the decline. Some believe that Christianity turned Roman citizens into pacifists, making it more difficult to defend against the barbarian attackers. Also, money used to build churches could have been used to maintain the empire. On the other hand, some argue effectively that Christianity may have provided morals and values for declining civilization and therefore may have actually prolonged an imperial era. So, and people are just going to keep debating this over and over and over again. So the first reason, this is the main reason, what causes an empire to fall. A decline in morals and values. The morals and values that kept together the Roman legions and thus the empire could not be maintained towards the end of the empire. The dramatic increase of divorce undermined the institutions of the family. Crimes of violence made in the streets of the larger cities were made unsafe. Even during the Pax Romania, there were 32,000 prostitutes in Rome. Emperors like Nero and Caligula became infamous for wasting money on lavish parties where guests ate and drank until they became ill. The most popular amusement was watching the gladiatorial combats in the Colosseum. So these were attended by the poor, the rich, and frequently the emperor himself. So as gladiators fought, vicious cries and curses were heard from the audience. One contest after another was staged in the course of a single day. Should the ground become too soaked with blood, it was covered over with a fresh layer of sand, and the performance went on. So the drive for personal pleasure had become very intense, even to the point of obsession. He said that at the very end, sports had become more exciting and brutal, which you could see that going on, well, minus the fighting until blood spills. But you could see that happening right now. All over the world, especially in America. America's lost its morals and its values to the point of, I think, the point of no return. I don't know. Do you guys think that there's any chance of morals really coming back to America?
Honestly,
oh, hell no.
No?
No.
I don't. No.
I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. They're forcing, I don't care what kind of life people lead, but I don't think you need to have drag queen hour in elementary schools. First of all, drag queen hour to read, it should not be in schools, period. End of story, end of discussion. If you cannot have Bible studies or any religion, for that matter, brought into school, you should not be allowed to have drag queen hour, especially for five-year-olds, and to say that this is what it means to love. And then the gay BCs and all this other crap. I mean, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. We're no longer teaching our children history anymore. And history is starting to repeat itself. Public health was number two. There were many public health and environmental problems. Many of the wealthy had water brought to their homes through lead pipes. Previously, the aqueduct had even purified the water, but at the end of the lead pipes were thought to be preferable. The wealthy death rate was very high, and the continuous interaction of people at the Colosseum, the blood and the death probably spread disease like nobody's business. Those who lived on the streets in continuous contact allowed for an uninterrupted strain of disease, much like the homeless and the poor run shelters of today. Alcohol was increased while adding to the incompetency of the general public. And recently, some postulate that Roman Empire had extended so far that diseases from other lands could easily make their way back to Rome. So if you look at now, we have other major diseases and things like that, but just take a look at COVID. I mean, we all know how, you know, whatever. But TB, try to think of others, HIV. I mean, you've got all these illnesses that we just cannot get rid of, and you won't. Political corruption. Honestly, I think this should put political corruption should be number one now. One of the most difficult problems was choosing a new emperor. Unlike Greece, where transition may not have been smooth, but at least it was consistent. The Romans never created an effective system to determine how new emperors would be selected. The choice was always open to debate between the old emperor, the Senate, the Praetorian Guard, and the army. Gradually, the Praetorian Guard gained complete authority to choose a new emperor, who rewarded the guard, rewarded the guard, who then became more influential, perpetuating the cycle. And then in 186 A.D., the army strength – gosh, my dog wants to go outside. Sorry. The army strangled the new emperor. The practice began of selling the throne to the highest bidder. During the next 100 years, Rome had 37 different emperors, 25 of whom were removed from office by assassination, thus contributed to the overall weakness of the empire. Hidden conspirators were working within the government to secretly destroy it, and they worked quietly, invisibly, and deceitfully during the entire time they were secretly dismantling the government of the Roman Empire. They publicly proclaimed that their unswerving support of it. People lost their faith, both religiously and in their government. The efficient Roman Empire gave way to chaos and disintegration. Look at our government right now. How corrupt.
That
sounds
familiar.
Oh, yeah. America's on its way down. No doubt about it. And I'm sorry to say it, but it is. The political corruption is unreal right now. And just in America alone. I mean, it's corrupt everywhere. And like they said, to sell the throne to the highest bidder. That's what the Democrats are doing. Who can be bought for what price? That's what it's amounted to in America. They don't care about the American people anymore. You know, I don't even know when the last time they ever actually did. So unemployment is number four. During the latter years of the empire, farming was done on large estates called latifundia that were owned by wealthy men who used slave labor. A farmer who had to pay workmen could not produce goods as cheaply. Many farmers could not compete with these low prices and lost and sold their farms. This not only undermined the citizen farmer who passed his values to his family, but also filled the cities with unemployed people. At one time, the emperor was importing grain to feed more than 100,000 people in Rome alone. They were not only a burden, but also had little to do because trouble and contribute to an increasing crime rate. Look at our unemployment rate.
Yeah.
Look what a virus has done to our unemployment rate.
The virus didn't do it. The lockdowns and,
I know, but they had to have something.
Yeah.
No, I know. They had to have something to cause it. They can't just say, okay, we're going to lock the country down for what reason? So they used a virus that they made, manipulated, weaponized, because that's exactly what it is.
And you know what? You mentioned something else about the farmers, the citizen farmers having to sell their land or whatever and become serfs. The same thing's happening with homes. Regular citizens can no longer afford to buy homes, and they're being bought up by the rich. These hedge funds and everything, some of whom are Chinese and other foreigners, so that they create a rental dwelling only type of situation. Like they said, come 2030, you will own nothing and be happy.
Yeah, and we'll look at our farmers now. We got different types
of farmers.
Why
too,
is there, have you seen a lot of stores have absolutely no beef whatsoever, beef or chicken? Because supposedly the largest beef, distributor was hacked. Yes,
they were hacked and shut down. Meat spoiled. I think it was like 3 days worth of production had to be trashed.
No, I call bullshit. They were not hacked. They were told to do it.
I'm just saying what's out there is three days worth of production in nine plants. That's a hell of a lot of meat. Trashed.
But don't forget, they're forcing farmers to euthanize their cattle right now. Why? So they're forcing,
I don't know.
One, they're forcing a food shortage. They're forcing unemployment. They're forcing all of this crap on us. So everything just piles up and leads to another thing. The fifth thing is inflation. The imposition of higher taxes undermined the economic stability and vitality of the empire. Taxes were
raised. They're lying about inflation right now. They're saying it's only like maybe 5 or 6%, and it's actually probably double that.
Oh, they said it's going to be for a short-lived time. Yeah, bullshit. So was it the Great Depression? The taxes were raised to pay for deficit government spending, to pay for food in all society, and to pay for government-sponsored activities of diversion, such as circuses and sports. Increasingly, as the time of the final collapse drew closer, greater emphasis was placed on sports to divert the attention of the public from the distressing news of massive trouble within the Roman Empire. The Roman economy suffered from inflation beginning after the reign of Marcus Aurelius. Once the Romans stopped conquering new lands, the flow of gold into the Roman economy decreased. Yet much gold was being spent by the Romans to pay for their luxury items. This meant that there was less gold to use in coins. As the amount of gold used in coins decreased, the coins became less valuable. To make up for this loss in value, merchants raised the prices on the goods they sold, and many people stopped using coins and began to barter to get what they needed. Eventually, salaries had to be paid in food and clothing, and taxes were collected in fruits and vegetables. Our inflation is already going through the roof. Right now, oil is, what was it, $97 a barrel under Biden? Right now, which is ridiculous. It hadn't been that high since Obama. Urban decay. Wealthy Romans lived in a domus or a house with marble walls, floors, intricate colored tiles, and windows made of small pieces of glass. Most Romans, however, were not rich. They lived in small, smelly rooms in apartment houses with six or more stories called islands. Each island covered an entire block. And at one time, there were 44,000 apartment houses within the city of Rome. The first floor apartments were not occupied by the poor, since these living quarters rented for about, they don't have a price on here. The more shaky wooden stairs a family had to climb, the cheaper the rent became. The upper apartments that were that the poor rented for $40 a year were hot, dirty, crowded, and dangerous. Anyone who could not pay their rent was forced to move out and live on the crime-infested streets. And that, because of that, the cities began to decay. Look at our cities now. Look at Detroit, L.A. Now look at Oregon.
San Francisco.
It's ridiculous. The seventh thing is inferior technology. During the last 400 years of the empire, the scientific achievements of the Romans were limited almost entirely to engineering and the organization of public services. So they built marvelous roads, bridges, and aqueducts. They established the first system of medicine for the benefit of the poor. But since the Romans relied so much on the human and animal labor, they failed to invent many new machines or find new technology to produce goods more efficiently. And they could not provide enough goods for their growing population. And they were no longer conquering other civilizations and adapting their technology. So they were actually losing territory they could no longer maintain with their legions. I don't think we have that issue. I know I believe we have a lot of technology. Sometimes I think it's too much. We're gone beyond I don't know. Have you heard about what they're doing right now to create chimeras? They're splicing human DNA with animal DNA right now to create people. So I think...
That's not really new, although it has advanced, that's damn sure. And that is, like, really, really scary that they're trying to create hybrid animal and human. That's definitely not good.
Yeah, they're trying to play God with something that just has no business doing that. Military spending. Maintaining an army to defend the border of the empire from the barbarian attacks was a constant drain on the government. Military spending left few resources for other vital activities, such as providing public housing and maintaining quality roads and aqueducts. Frustrated Romans lost their desire to defend the empire. The empire had to begin hiring soldiers recruited from the unemployed city mobs or worse, from foreign countries. Such an army was not only unreliable, but very expensive. And the emperors were forced to raise taxes frequently, which led again, to increase inflation. Here's the thing about that. America is, these jackasses are trying to cut spending as much as possible for the military and expect our military to go out and do what they're supposed to do. But the thing is, the so-called infrastructure plan that they've got, it has nothing to do with roads and buildings and anything like that. That's the biggest complaint. You're spending over $2 trillion on what? Huh?
I said it's all socialism.
Yeah.
The money's going to social programs.
Yeah. Oh, and now in New York, I don't know if you guys saw it. I was just watching it right before we started. The six or whatever jackasses that's going to run to be the mayor of New York, they're voting on taking away the guns of cops in New York City.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I think all cops should leave New York, and if you're a conservative or whatever, I suggest you leave New York City because it's about to fall. So the final blows, For years, a well-disciplined Roman army held the barbarians of Germany back. And then in the 3rd century A.D., the Roman soldiers were pulled back from the Rhine-Danube frontier to fight a civil war in Italy. This left the Romans' border wide open to attack. Gradually, Germanic hunters and herders from the north began to overtake Roman lands in Greece and Gaul, which was later called France. Then in 476 A.D., the Germanic general Odoacer, or Odovacar, overthrew the last of the Roman emperors, Augustus Romulus. From then on, the western part of the empire was ruled by Germanic chieftain. Roads and bridges were left in disrepair, and fields were left untilled. Pirates and bandits may travel unsafe. Cities cannot be maintained without goods from the farms, and trade and business began to disappear, and Rome was no more in the West.
Right. The fall of Rome affected the whole world, and the whole known world.
Yeah.
And something similar will happen when the United States falls.
Yeah. This is also, okay, here's, I think, that talks about when Moses was talking about the fall, when Israel, ended. Israel's another one. And Israel finally became a country in, 1948? They came back to Israel, was it in 19? Yeah, so they've been destroyed 3 times. So even they had their own issues. So I'm going to go with the 5 most powerful empires that there's been. So, come on. Of all the empires that arose and thrived on the face of the earth, which were the five most powerful? And how is it even possible to select 5 empires among the hundreds that have flourished over the past 5,000 years? Truth be told, any formulation of the 5 most powerful empires will always be subjective because all empires were glorious and influential in their own ways. So, so like they said, this is more of a subjective thing, but there were some empires that were simply so powerful, large, and influential over the grand sweep of history that they deserve to be called the greatest, no matter the criteria. The reader may note that, okay, this person left out empires from China and India. That was over regional, and this is global. So the first Persian Empire, the Achaemenid Persian Empire, was founded by Cyrus the Great around 550 BC, who went by the title King of Kings. Although the Persian Empire came to an inglorious end at the hands of Alexander the Great in 330 BC, it had a lasting legacy on the subsequent development of world civilizations and future empires. Indeed, the Persian Empire was a pivotal empire because it was the first true empire that set the standard of what it meant to be one. So the Persian Empire existed at a unique time in history when most of the civilized, settled, I can't pronounce that damn word, I'm not even going to bother, populated world was concentrated in or near the Middle East. As a result, the Persian Empire, which dominated most of the Middle East, ruled over a greater percentage of the world's population than any other empire in history. Indeed, in 480 BC, the empire had a population of approximately 49.4 million people, which was about 44% of the global population at that time. So the Persian Empire was the first empire to connect multiple world regions, including the Middle East, North Africa, Central Asia, India, and Europe, and the Mediterranean world. It jump-started the concept of empires in places like Greece and India. such a large
That's
empire could only Oh, I know. Such a large empire could have only been put together by a military might, and the Persian Empire's military achievements were significant, although they're often forgotten by its sudden demise at the hands of Alexander's armies. Various Persian campaigns succeeded at subjugating most of the world's advanced civilizations at that time, including the Babylonians, the Lydians or Lydians, Egyptians, and the northwestern Hindu region of Gandhara, which is Pakistan today.
Now, who is Charlemagne? Charlemagne. Which empire was he with?
I don't know. I've got more. God, this freaking dog. I swear to God, I'm locking him out.
Hang on.
Is Lorna around with my little research assistant? Or is she sleeping?
Woo-hoo.
Lorna. I guess not. Bobby, why don't you look it up while I go let my freaking retard outside? Oh, shut up.
What did you ask me?
Cents worth. Charlemagne.
Oh. Charlemagne.
Yeah, Marie wanted to know.
What about Charlemagne?
I don't know. What'd you want, Maria? Maria?
I looked him up. He doesn't appear until much later. He's like in the 700s.
Okay.
The late 700s,
oh, okay.
Early 1800s.
Okay. Let's see. So so it should not be forgotten that, notwithstanding exaggeration and misinterpretation, the Persians believed that they achieved their goals in Greece and that more Greeks lived in the empire than not. The Persian Empire ushered in a period of harmony and peace in the Middle East for 200 years, a feat that has seldom been replicated. The Persian Empire's legacy to the world in terms of imperial ideas include the use of network roads, a postal system, a single language for administration, imperial Aramaic, autonomy for various ethnicities, and bureaucracy. The Persian religion... Zoroastrianism... influenced the development of key concepts like free will, heaven and hell, and Abrahamic religions through Judaism. The Roman Empire, this one should be obvious. The Roman Empire has long been the empire par excellence for the Western world, but its importance is not the product of Western bias. So the Roman Empire is truly one of history's greatest empires. The Romans displayed the awesome ability to conquer and hold large swaths of territory for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. If the Eastern Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire, is accounted for, but it was not held together by brute force alone. Once conquered, people aspired to become Roman, which meant participating in a sophisticated urban classical culture. Several important features of the modern world are the result of the Roman Empire. The Romans took over and expanded upon the Hellenistic culture, the Greeks, passing down Greek architecture, philosophy, and science to future generations. Later, the Roman embraced that Christianity helped elevate the religion from a minor cult to one of the world's greatest religions. Roman law also influenced all subsequent legal systems in the West. Roman institutions also helped inspire the governance systems of modern democracies. Despite Greece's reputation as the birthplace of democracy, the American founding fathers were primarily influenced by British and Roman practices. In fact, many of them frequently spoke of their distaste for the Athenian experiment in democracy and their admiration for the Roman form of mixed government, where monarchical, aristocratic, and democratic elements share power. the American political system, with its separate branches of government, approximate this Roman institution division. Once the Roman Republic transitioned into the Roman Empire, the idea and majesty of Caesar served as an inspiration for future rulers. The Romans were tenacious people. They were able to bounce back from numerous setbacks against improbable odds to pull together and defeat their enemies. Though the Carthaginian general Hannibal almost destroyed the Romans after the Battle of Cannae in 216 BCE. The Romans were able to land an army at Carthage to defeat a mere 14 years later. The Roman legions were military dominant for centuries, enabling Rome to rule over nearly all other civilized peoples in the Mediterranean and Near East, except for the Persians, for hundreds of years and facing only minor raids by disorganized tribes. When the empire did collapse, it was due more to continued crisis and civil war than its invasion by Germanic tribes. So, giving the political history of the Roman state was two millennia span. The Caliphate. The Arab Empire, also known as the Caliphate, was a political entity found by the Muslim prophet Muhammad that encompassed most of Arabia at the time of his death in 632 CE. It is more reasonable to call this the Arab Empire rather than the Muslim Empire, because while Islam originated and spread because of this empire, there were many subsequent empires that were legally Muslim or ruled by Muslims that were not Arab. So Muhammad was succeeded by the four rightly guided caliphs, which are the successors, who were selected by consensus and acclamation until 661 CE. The hereditary Umayyad caliphate ruled until 750 CE, followed by the Abbasid caliphate. Through conquest had ended by this point. The Arab Empire effectively ended around 900 CE. Although the Abbasids maintained their religious role as figurehead caliphs in Baghdad until the destruction of that city by the Mongols in 1258 CE. After 900 CE, the empire began to crumble politically with the rise of rival dynasties, many of them Turkic and Persian in origin, as well as rival caliphates in Spain and Egypt. Nonetheless, in its own time, the Arab Empire was extraordinary, both because of its military success and because of its legacy. It's amazing that a loosely organized tribal people on the fringes of world civilization defeated the Byzantine Empire and overthrew the Sassanid Persian Empire, both of whose populations and resources bases dwarf the Arabian Desert. The Arab conquests are a good example how ideological zeal can sometimes make up for technological and organizational deficiencies. The Arab generals from this period observed to be ranked among the world's greatest military geniuses, especially the third caliph, Omar, who conquered the region from Egypt to Persia in 10 years. In 100 years, the Arab Empire grew to be several times larger than the Roman Empire at its height. And because of location, the Arab Empire, like the Persian Empire before it, connected other centers of world civilization in Africa, Europe, Central Asia, India, and China. As a result, goods and knowledge from all these regions were able to mix for the first time, which is where they got algebra. Goody for them. I hate algebra, by the way. The ultimate legacy of the Arab Empire, of course, is the religion of Islam, followed by more than a billion people today. The next empire is the Mongol Empire. The Mongol Empire was another empire that originated in the periphery and against all odds defeated enemies much more powerful and populous than it was. It was the world's largest contiguous land empire, one that struck terror in all enemies. Founded by the Mongol warlord Temujin, who assumed the title of Genghis Khan, or Genghis, however you want to pronounce it, in 1206 CE. The Mongol Empire first grew by picking off parts of China, as many previous steppe tribes had done. But the defining moment of the Mongol Empire was when its ambassadors were killed off by leaders of the neighboring Khwarezmian Empire.
I said, what about the Ottoman Empire? I thought they went after the Mongols.
Oh, no, they're talking, this is the five most prominent empires. I know they're on here somewhere. Where did I go? Which includes Iran, Afghanistan, Central Asia. This was perceived as a grievous affront to the Great Khan, and the subsequent Mongol revenge completely wrecked Central Asia and ended its golden age. Combined with the subsequent establishment of European sea routes that bypassed the Silk Road, the Mongol invasions spelled the doom of Central Asia as an important region. Although there were only about 2 million Mongols in the whole world, they subsequently conquered most of the Middle East, Russia, and China under Genghis Khan's descendants. During their heyday, they suffered few setbacks, except for their failed invasion of Japan and the 1260 CE Battle of Anjalut against the Egyptian Mamluks. How were the Mongols able to accomplish these feats despite their small population? The Mongols were able to field large mobile armies against their enemies because they carried their herds with them and could sustain themselves off horse blood. That's nasty. In an era before refrigeration, it was logistically difficult for a Chinese rulers to field a comparable army. Oh, wait a minute. Next. Let's see. Come on. Sorry, my technical difficulty. I've been having issues with my internet. It comes on, it shuts off. It comes back, and it shuts off. The Mongol conquest killed millions of people, but afterwards established a brief era of peace and prosperity as trade spread across the large expanse. In the long run, the Mongols proved inefficient at administering their empire, which eventually split into four Khanates. Before each one eventually fell apart or further split. The British Empire. The British essentially made the modern world. British institutions of representative democracy inspired French Enlightenment philosophers such as Montesquieu, who devised theories of modern government that influenced other modern European states. The main characteristics of the United States, a commitment to liberalism, the rule of law, civil rights, and trade were inherited from the British and spread throughout the world. Most of these characteristics evolved organically throughout the long history of England rather than being a result of some master plan. These characteristics were also instrumental in helping the British Empire grow, thrive, and hold whatever territory it controlled. Moreover, its example was widely emulated, whether for its financial prowess or its naval strength. In the early 20th century, the British Empire stretched across almost a quarter of the world, the largest of any empire in history. This feat was made possible more because of England's organizational feat and financial prowess rather than through a huge army. For example, the British conquest of India was mostly undertaken by Indian troops and British pay who chose to serve the British because of the regular salaries and benefits offered by them. London was also demonstrated a remarkable ability to handle multiple wars at once. If we know that, if you remember, the British were in like all the wars, you know, all the modern day wars of the last, you know, 100 years. So how does the United States of America match up with all of these behemoths? The United States is certainly the world's most powerful nation ever, militarily speaking. It combines the British ingenuity for trade with a more deeply held liberalism and continent sees resources like the Romans. It has an attractive culture. Like the Mongols, it can wield total destruction. Like the Arabs, it has spread a universal ideology across the globe. Like the Persian empires, America combines different cultures and links together regions. For all these reasons, America has a long future ahead of as a great power. Yet America also needs to keep in mind the faults of the previous empires if it is not to repeat them. Despite its overwhelmingly strong military, Rome fell. Internal divisions and squabbling can kill even the most powerful empires. The Persians were conquered not because they were weak, but because of their leadership failed. Although the Mongols could win wars, they could not win peace, and ultimately they failed to establish themselves permanently anywhere. The Arabs spawned a successful civilization, but the positive aspects of it were taken over by newcomers who relegated the Arabs to subservience. And finally, the British were exhausted in trying to uphold their interests, global order, and European system, trying to do too many things at once while burning themselves out. And if we go back to what we were saying, you have to teach history, or America is going to end up a fallen empire. We have a weak government, a piss-poor, weak-ass leader. I'm sorry. Okay. If you don't notice, then you're blind. Our military is great, but they're always told they can't use all of their technology. And now they're weakening our military. If you look, we have no, and all our government is concerned with is dividing our country. Divided we fall. What's the thing? United we stand, divided we fall. Isn't that what it says? And we're going to fall.
Yes.
There's no way America can stand as a superpower if they keep doing this race bullshit. You know, it's just not going to happen.
I think our window of saving our country is getting smaller and smaller.
Oh yeah. Oh, it is. If Biden stays in office, if they don't do shit about the fraudulent election, then we're screwed as a nation. We are forever screwed as a nation, and it will fall within 4 years.
Well, I don't even see – I see the fall starting by the end of this year.
Oh, we've already started falling. It's already started last year.
I meant where even the other side can't deny it.
The other side will never admit it. Okay, so you were talking about the Ottoman Empire. I've got another one, and I've already read. This one has the Achaemenid Empire. It's the Persian Empire. So that was the first global one, and that was from 550 BC to 330 BC. And I don't think it's got much of. This is pretty cool. It shows the area that they covered.
The Ottoman Empire has an interesting history, and I'm particularly fond of it because of Vlad Tepe, who, you know, with the heads on the pikes and the he's the one that Dracula was. Despite his cruelty, his people loved him.
Hold on. So the Roman Empire went from 27 BC to 476 CE. And the Roman Empire, good God, covered It looks like Ireland, half of Scotland, and all of England, and then that whole area, all of like Jesus, all of that whole area. But the Ottoman Empire, founded in 1299 by the Turkish tribe leader Osman I, the Ottoman Empire was Islamic caliphate. The Ottomans controlled the Mediterranean Sea, Southeast Europe, Western Asia, the Caucasus, and North Africa, thus serving as an intermediator for both Eastern and Western cultures. The empire is primarily responsible for the spread of Islam in for the aforementioned region, being direct conflict with the Christian Crusades. So it's not Saudi Arabia. It's if you do the left side of it, and then, you know, the part there. Ottomans had a fair share of enemies in Europe, as their Islamic expansion didn't sit well with the Christian-dominated Europe. The capture of Constantinople from a Christian-centric Byzantine was one of the most culminating defeats of the Middle Ages. The 17th century witnessed decades of conflict between the Ottomans and the European alliances of Habsburg, or Austria, which made the Ottoman military lose their footing. The Treaty of Karlowitz sealed the Ottomans' fate after their final defeat in Vienna. Although the empire prospered in peace, their military might had gradually diminished in the absence of war. Fast forward it to World War I, the Ottomans fought against the Allies to reclaim their power, but suffered a terrible loss to its sovereignty. The Ottoman Empire was ceded to the Allies, which was split between Britain and France, and this was a tipping point for the Middle East, as the nations carved out by the British and the French gave rise to the modern Arab world that we know today, which explains the existence of English or French secondary languages in certain Arab countries. The remnants of the empire became the Republic of Turkey, where Constantinople now stands as a world-renowned city of tourism called Istanbul. Let me tell you something about Istanbul. Oh, it may be pretty, but it's like a billion people packed in Istanbul.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people, but there are thousands of hotels in Istanbul. They got a massive airport. Don't get me wrong. See, here's the funny thing. In Istanbul, they hate women. They hate white people. They hate Christians. In Istanbul, it's bad to be a woman, a white woman Christian. But I'm gonna tell you something. To get into their airport, you will go through security 15 times before you get to your gate. You go through initial security check in their airport when you walk in the door. You get your shit, you go to your airline. You hand them your bags. You will go through another security check. Then you go through another security check. You know, that's the one where you take, you know, you go through the little machine and you put your bags on the little conveyor belt. Then you go through that one. Then you go to that, then you go to your gate. I swear to God, you will go through four more security checks from the gate to the plane. But I'll be damned if they don't have a lot of home terrorists come out of there. But that's neither here nor there. But and the other reason why I will not go to Turkey again, if you have a layover on your flight, you have to give them your passport. Unless it's less than a few hours. If it's less than a few hours, you stay in the airport. I had a 32-hour layover, and I had to hand them over my ticket and my passport. And I said, well, that's it. I'm being sex trafficked now. Because I was alone. So we already went over the Mongol Empire, the British Empire. We went over that one. Okay, so the British Empire, believe it or not, is massive. From 1783 CE to 1997 CE, they have all of Canada. They have the UK, which is England, Scotland, and Ireland. But see, they no longer have control of Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland is now their own free country. They have Australia. What are the islands that's below Australia? Anybody know? I'm like drawing a blank.
What was the question? Wait a minute.
The island, the big island below Australia.
New Zealand?
New Zealand or Tasmania?
It's got to be New Zealand. Oh, it's Tasmania, too, because it's that tiny little island. But they also have part of Papua New Guinea.
Right.
India.
Bali. I think Bali's over there, too, isn't it? Indonesia? Or is that close to Japan?
The bottom of... Yeah, there's a bunch of these islands. The British West Indies. In a lot of Africa, the British still control a lot of Africa. It's on the eastern part, all the way down to Cape Town, all you know that whole big thing, because the British Empire, well, they're still around. That's just it. They send money and doctors and all kinds of medical help to a lot of the countries in Africa. And that's how they get their help. So, but I got, you know, it's got little maps, and I can't read half this shit because it's so tiny. But see, and the funny thing is people talk about, oh, white people are colonizers. You know... What people fail to realize is the Spanish started it, and they go up and around that the Indian. Was it the West Indies? Hold on, that trade route. They have all of that, and everywhere the Spanish stopped, they conquered, and then the British took over. So that's why a lot of British people are in India and Spain and all that crap over there. So, America wasn't America until 1776.
Right.
So we didn't colonize shit. And people don't understand what colonize means. They have no clue.
Nope.
None. All colonize means is you establish yourself somewhere, and you grow, and you populate. That's all it means. It doesn't mean you took over the whole entire... Oh, stupid.
I mean, Hawaii? Like, you know, but no, we didn't. That was our strength for the longest time. I mean, is that we were us. But then, you know, we started being Big Brother, and it just
see, that's the problem. We need to stop being Big Brother. We need to take care of our own country. That's why there's other countries.
Well, you know, it's not just a question of being Big Brother to help others, but we sent our military to the Middle East not to help the Middle East people, but to protect private oil companies.
Yeah. Well, we have oil companies.
I mean, the Kuwait War, it was 100% to protect oil fields. That's it. Not to protect the people, but to protect oil fields. And that's
wrong.
Go
watch the movie The Kingdom, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It explains everything about the Middle East and why we went to war. Because America ended up over there in Saudi Arabia. And they found the oil fields, and then they ended up putting it's like a military installation, but it's American territory. But it's policed by the Saudi Arabians.
Right.
And, you know, and stuff like that. But it's a great movie. It's an awesome movie to watch. And it talks about how we ended up, because it's got little document pieces at the very beginning of Bush Jr. and all of that, when all that shit started and how everything came about. I'm trying to think. Wow. I can't,
you know, it's the same thing
much.
Like with Cuba. You know, I mean, we did that.
Well, we did that by embargoes.
Yeah. Well, no, we actually trained Castro, and when he got in power, we didn't like what he stood for. So instead of trying to bargain with him, they just instead of bargaining or trying to, you know, to work with him, we just abandoned him. So that's why he went to Russia and the communists, because originally he wasn't communist. He was trained by the United States. We were the ones that gave him the weapons. The same thing with Noriega in Nicaragua. Yeah, I mean, I'm old enough to, well, I'm not old enough for Cuba, but I'm old enough to remember but I remember my mom, you know, she used to, you know, talk about it in the Bay of Pigs and everything. But no, seriously, because when I was in school, that we actually learned about that. They don't teach that anymore. They don't really teach about true history. So America, no. We're going to, if we don't fix ourselves and toot sweet, we're going to go the way of the dodo bird, like the Romans and the, you know, and everything.
Yeah, well, here it is. In New Jersey, God help you idiots in New Jersey. I swear to God. You know what? You need to fire your school board, okay? The graduation out of high school in New Jersey. One of the school board members gave a speech. You know, normally they tell you to take all that knowledge you learned, which is jack shit, in high school today. They don't teach you anything or how to be butthurt snowflakes about everything. She said, remember your jihad.
Yes, I heard about that.
Remember your jihad. So they're pushing a narrative of a holy war in America even more today. I mean, it's disgusting. And
it's
because
scary.
They're not teaching, because they're not teaching American history, it's going to repeat itself. And you know what? I'm going to sit back in my lawn chair, my bucket of popcorn, and I'm going to watch the shit show happen. And I dare anybody to come in my damn yard, because I will pop a couple rounds off on you. I don't care.
Yeah, I just got some more ammo. Yeah, it's just, you know, like I said,
I know,
we'll
I need
see
to
what
get
happens.
Oh, by
did
the way,
you hear about
the
7 million rounds that was stole, that were hijacked in Mexico?
No.
Yeah, the 7 million rounds of ammo was just hijacked the other day, yesterday.
The Marines are being, not deployed, what do they call it? They're being sent to D.C. right now. And it was not because of today. Because
what happened
of flag
today?
Day. No, well, today's Flag Day. Today's Trump's birthday. Oh, by the way, happy birthday, President Trump. We need you back.
Yes, definitely.
Today is the birthday of the Army. The Army was created today in 1775. It's Flag Day, and it's Trump's birthday. But Biden and his dumbass is over there at the G7 summit, which, by the way, he showed up 2 hours late for the meeting.
Yeah, I heard.
And confused Syria and Libya.
Yeah, a couple of times.
So, anyway, the Marines are being sent to D.C. for some reason. So...
yeah, there's been a lot of activity there today with the helicopters and whatnot, because
yeah, Richard Citizen is a great reporter.
He's,
you know,
awesome.
Yeah, but anyway, I found another thing for the top 10 empires. Let me see if I went over all of them. So number 10 was the Ottoman Empire. So here, number nine is the Spanish Empire. And like I said, the Spanish, the Spanish.
They weren't called the Spanish, though, weren't they the Moors?
The Saxons and the Moors? I don't know. See,
yeah, I thought
because
the
they
Moors
have
were
all
Spanish.
Of all of South America and all of North America and Spain. And one of the countries, the left coast on the west coast of Africa.
Right.
So anyway, the Spanish Empire proved to be an expert in colonization in the 16th century, more so than virtually any other empire. People, listen, the Spaniards, not white people.
It was their lust for gold.
Yeah, but think about it. There's Spanish people in India. There's Spanish people in the Philippines. There's Spanish people and all of the Puerto Rico. And there's so many different variety of Spaniards.
Yep.
So, anywho, more so than virtually any other empire at the time, their colonies gave them 7.5 million square miles of territory, about 13% of the Earth's land mass.
Oh, that's a lot.
The Spanish Empire only lasted 40 years. But that's because they were spread too thin.
Right.
So Spain commissioned voyages to explore the new worlds across the ocean. The most important were Columbus's accidental discovery of America in 1492 and Vasco da Gama's discovery of India. Then they began using their resources to become powerful, conquering areas in Central and South America. The Spanish defeated the Incas in Peru. Now, let me ask you a question. When it comes to any other religion, culture, whatever in the world, everybody else conquered. What did America do? What did the white people do?
We absorbed.
No, what I mean is with the American Indians and shit like that, they stole the land.
We massacred them. We murdered them. We enslaved them. We stole their land.
But you look at any other culture, they conquered that land because their butt hurt. And I'm gonna go over something else about American Indians too that I learned today.
It does not lessen what happened. It doesn't mean that it doesn't make what happened any less wrong. But when you compare it to, like you said, to historically speaking, it's not evil either, and we should not be condemned for it.
No. And that's just it. Let's see. Yeah, I got lost. They defeated the Incas in Peru, the Aztecs in Central America, and the Mayans and the Yucatan. The Spanish only settled a few areas in North America, mainly in Florida and some on the West Coast. That are now Oregon, Alaska, and Washington. They also settled in what is now British Columbia in modern-day Canada. Spain had colonies on the other half of the world, including Africa and parts of Europe. Ultimately, however, Spain faced the threat of military conquest from other European powers and severe monetary problems. Oh, crap, my internet's glitching. Literally, it's like... my God. Okay. So, the Spanish Empire was massive. We went over the Persian Empire, was number eight. Did we cover the Byzantine Empire?
No.
Okay. So the Byzantine Empire, or the Eastern Roman Empire, was the Roman Empire during the Middle Ages, centered on the capital of Constantinople and ruled by emperors in direct succession to the ancient Roman emperors. It was called the Roman Empire, also Romania. During its existence, over 1,000 years, The empire remained one of the most powerful economic, cultural, and military forces in Europe. Despite setbacks and territorial losses, especially during the Roman, Persian, and Byzantinian Arab wars, the empire received a mortal blow in 1204 by the Fourth Crusade when it was dissolved and divided into competing Byzantinian Greek and
Latin. A thousand years. So does that mean it was the oldest one?
No. No, we
no, I mean as in the longest surviving one. Because I thought you said 1,000 years.
It was. I'm gonna look it up. I'll look it up. So, despite the eventual recovery of Constantinople and reestablishment of the empire in 1261 under Palaiologian emperor's successive civil wars in the 14th century further sapped the empire's strength. Oh, the Han Dynasty. Yeah, we didn't even cover this one. During the Chinese period of warring states, the whole of China was embroiled in a civil war as the different kingdoms within it battled it out with each other in the quest for supremacy. In the end, the Qin state won and gobbled up the whole of China with 40 million people under its control. The Qin dynasty didn't last long, and soon it went to the Han, which eventually controlled China for close to 400 years. The Han Dynasty period is considered a golden age in Chinese history in terms of scientific achievement, technological advances, economics, culture, and political stability. Even to this day, most Chinese people refer to themselves as the Han people. Today, the Han people are considered the largest single ethnic group in the world.
Huh.
Now, with that being said, look at the technology that China has. All right? Everything's freaking made in China. Massive technology. Look how poor they are.
That's because of communism.
They've got technology. I know. That's what I'm saying. People are so stupid today. People under 30 years old are so, not all people, a lot. Under 30 are so stupid that they think socialism and communism is where it's at.
No. The Chinese history, if you look at the history, the total history of China, I mean the things that they have developed and invented between, like you said, technology and medicine and a culture and everything. I mean, they have contributed so much to the world, but once communism hit, it's like it all went to pot. I mean, you know, they went from being a very rich country, and I don't just mean monetarily. I mean, in culture, in science and arts and stuff, they were a very rich culture. To what are they now? You know, I mean,
well,
it's an awful place.
The thing is, all Asians, and this is China, Japan, Korea, all of these, all the Asian people in a whole, they always put education above anything else.
Yeah.
Anything less than an A, you're a failure.
Right.
Okay. But they have the caste, you know, you belong to a certain caste, and that's part of their whole whatever. Number three is the Russian Empire. The Russian Empire was a state that existed from 1721 until the Russian Revolution in 1917, and it was the successor of the Tsardom of Russia and the predecessor of the Soviet Union. It was the second largest contiguous empire in world history, surpassed only by the Mongol Empire, and the third largest empire behind the British Empire and the Mughal Empire. In 1866, it stretched across from Eastern Europe, across Asia, and into North America. And the Mongol, we already went over that one. Oh, well, actually, the Roman Empire, Scott. So there's the Roman Empire, and then there's the Holy Roman Empire. So the Holy Roman Empire, during the Middle Ages, they were considered the superpower of their time. At its height, the Holy Roman Empire consisted of eastern France, Germany, northern Italy, parts of western Poland. Despite being relatively small in terms of empires, its influence on the history of Central Europe is still felt today. Incredibly,
yeah,
well,
aren't
the empire
they the ones that did the Crusades?
Did the what?
Aren't they the ones that were responsible for the Crusades?
Yeah. That's why it was also called the Dark Ages, I believe. You know, that's why Christianity gets a bad name. It was because the Crusades.
Yeah,
no,
it was awful.
But here's the thing. You have to learn from your past to keep from redoing it in the future.
Yeah, but you don't admit to the errors of your past.
But the thing is, the Muslims are doing it now. If
you
don't convert to being Muslim, they execute you. Kind of what the Christians did in the Crusades. So we learn from our mistakes.
Yeah, but the difference is the Muslims aren't just killing Christians who don't convert to Islam. They're killing other Islam Muslims who won't convert to their interpretation of
Islam. Yeah, well, it's not Muslim. It's
Islam.
It's not Muslim. It's Islam.
Yeah, I corrected myself.
The Shiites. Yeah, there's the Sunnis, the Shiites. And I'm forgetting one.
Right.
So, I mean, you've got different sects.
And then you have radical Islam.
Yeah, and then you have the radical. So the empire was formally dissolved on August 6, 1806, when the last Holy Roman Emperor, Francis II, later Francis I of Austria, abdicated following a military defeat by the French under Napoleon. Upon its collapse, the following nations emerged: Switzerland, Holland, Austrian Empire, Belgium, the Prussian Empire, the Principality of Liechtenstein, and the Confederation of Rhine, and the First French Empire. So, and we went over the Russian Empire and the Roman Empire. So, let me see. Let's see what this is. So this is the 10 greatest plot twists in history. I don't know. We're going to find out what it is because it goes along with the empires. So from arrogant emperors failing miserably to seemingly successful rebellions gone wrong, there are many twists and turns in the story of mankind. This list recounts just 10 of the greatest and most bizarre plot twists ever to happen in human history. Number 10, an imposter German ship meets its real British counterpart. During the First World War, Germans disguised one of their ships, the SMS Cap Trafalgar, as the British liner RMS Carmania. However, by an unlucky stroke of irony, the first ship they encountered near the island of Trinidad off the coast of Brazil, note, not Trinidad, was the real RMS Carmania, whose captain Noah Grant immediately recognized their attempt to trick British ships and launched a surprise attack early in the morning, ultimately leading to the sinking of the SMS Cap Trafalgar. Nice try, Germans. Yes, I remember that. I've heard about that, where they disguise the ship. Number 9, an enraged emperor turns an island into a peninsula. Okay. At the height of the war between the empires of Rome and Persia, Alexander the Great decided that he wanted to worship at a temple on the island of Tyre. The island's leaders refused because they wanted to remain neutral in the war against Persia, and allowing the emperor to worship there would send a message to the Persians that Tyre took the side of their enemy. They told the emperor to pray the temple on Old Tyre, which was located on the mainland instead. Alexander, angered by this show of disrespect, saw this as a declaration of war occupied Old Tyre and spent 6 months building a bridge to the island. Using logs and stones from the ruins of Old Tyre, when he reached Tyre, he crucified most of everyone in the city and sold the rest into slavery. Tyre is still a peninsula today, and technically, it's now part of the mainland. Wow. I did not know that.
That's interesting.
Number eight, a rude welcome cost an empire. During the reign of the Mongol Empire, Genghis Khan sent a large trading caravan to Khwarezmia, an empire in the Middle East, hoping to start an alliance. However, the local governor did not welcome these travelers and arrested them and sentenced them to death. Genghis responded to this by sending a few of his ambassadors to ask the Shah to release his men and explained his intent to create an alliance. Instead of hearing what they had to say, the Shah beheaded one of the ambassadors and sent the others back with their heads shaved, which was a big insult to the Khan.
Genghis Khan is not somebody you wanted to make upset.
Also, the other ones, I'm trying to think.
Actually, I heard that Genghis Khan, there was a story that he actually almost beat the Romans. They made a movie out of it.
I'm trying to think of the Ronin. You know the movie The 27 Ronins? It's an Asian. Their long ponytails of hair. They had that long hair. Well, if you cut their hair, same thing. Genghis Khan began to plan his revenge. He invaded the empire with force, and the Shah was forced to escape to an island off the Caspian coast to die. 2 years later, there was no empire because Genghis Khan, number seven, a paranoid king who's immune to poison. Mithridates VI ruled the kingdom of Pontus around 100 B.C., he was extremely paranoid that someone would try to assassinate him with poison, so he took small doses of the poison each day to build up a tolerance. Unfortunately, when he tried to kill himself after being captured by the Romans, the more honorable path than being sold as a Roman slave, he was unable to, as he was immune. Perhaps he should have channeled his paranoia into building a better army instead. Well, ain't that some shit? Number six, twice the bad luck for Kublai Khan. Kublai Khan was the fifth Khagan, whatever, of the Mongol Empire. It was 1274, and Kublai Khan had run out of China to conquer. So now he decided that he was going to conquer Japan. His first attack fleet was fended off by the Japanese samurai. That's it, the samurais. They're the ones who cannot cut their hair. So they began their return to China to recuperate and plan a stronger follow-up attack. Unfortunately for them, however, on the way back to China, the fleet was sunk by a typhoon. It was 1281, and Kublai Khan was back, and he still had his eyes set on Japan. He launched the second biggest naval invasion the world would ever see, bigger than D-Day.
I didn't know that. The only thing I really know about Kublai Khan is the poem.
Well, you know what? That's probably the reason why Japan did what they did to Pearl Harbor, because they got their asses kicked too. So, and when they arrived at the shores of Japan, they discovered that the Japanese had blocked off their beaches with seawalls. The fleet trawled around the coast of Japan, searching for a place to land, and continued to search right up until the day the fleet was destroyed by a second typhoon. The name of these two typhoons, Tamikaze, Godwin. that's probably the reason why Japan tried that shit with America. Number five, the statesman who wasn't bluffing. When Julius Caesar was captured by the pirates, who didn't know who he was, they demanded 20 talents of silver for his freedom. Caesar was offended by the small amount, laughed, and told them to ask for at least 50. Which they got. Caesar seemed to enjoy their company whilst he waited for his men to bring the silver the pirates had asked for. joining with their games and acting almost like he was one of them, he often joked that he was going to have them arrested and crucified after they let him go, which they all found very funny and laughed until they were all arrested and crucified after they let him go. Wow. Number four, a diplomat slip up at the Berlin Wall. On the night of the Berlin Wall came down, an East German diplomat named Gunter Schabowski had just returned back from a tiring trip to Poland and was due to read an announcement about travel rules changing for a live press conference. Since he had just returned from Poland, he hadn't been fully briefed on the new rules, one of which that East Berliners could apply for visas to go to the West for short trips and wait until a couple of days after the announcement to apply and be accepted. The announcement was rushed and unclear and started by saying things like, liberalization of travel rules, blah, 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 can now visit, blah, blah, blah. Schabowski hadn't read his speech before. That's what it says, blah, 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 by the way. And he was reading this information for the first time. One journalist asked when these new rules would come into effect, and wanting to look prepared, Schabowski replied, immediately. This spread fast and caused people to gather at the wall asking to be let out. There had been important protests before, but nothing as big as this. By coincidence, a border guard at the wall was preoccupied because had been recently tested for cancer and was waiting for his results, so he didn't care enough about his job to stop the mass of people and open the first gate, leading to the liberation of the people of East Berlin. Wow.
That's interesting.
Number three, Darius the Wizard Slayer. Darius the Great had a very interesting ascension to the throne of Persia. When he was caught red-handed, standing over his dead predecessor with a knife. Of course, the Magi, who discovered him, began to call for the guards, as Darius had clearly just murdered the emperor. However, Darius claimed that he had not killed the emperor, as the man who he had just killed was a shape-shifting wizard. He claimed that this was not the real emperor, but an imposter who had done away with the emperor and took the throne for himself. The Magi consulted and decided that Darius was telling the truth, because why would anyone lie about something like that?
Yeah.
They unanimously decided to raise Darius the Wizard Slayer to the throne of Persia. He became one of the greatest rulers of the Persian dynasty and was famous for his genius. This may have been due to the fact that anyone else was stupid enough to believe in shape-shifting wizards. Sounds like the liberals.
Yeah.
Number two, John's Double Cross. Cavalier Dion was a French diplomat and spy in England and Russia. Once retired, it was revealed to the public that they had been a woman the entire time. They were then made to wear female clothing because of societal expectations of women. They went on to write some books and supported the American Revolution. But here's the kicker. When Dion died, the woman who was dressing the body for burial discovered had twigs and berries. And
what?
Pretended to be a woman the whole time. Yeah, so this diplomat was really a man, but he said he was a woman, so they made him dress like a woman. So he dressed like a woman till, you know, the day he died. And the person who did the burial discovered he had twigs and berries.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Last but not least, the British Revolution, or not. When the people of England rebelled against their King Charles I, they were successful, had him beheaded, and put a new leader in charge, Oliver Cromwell. However, once Cromwell was given the position of ruler, the power got to his head, and he became exactly the same as a king.
No, he was evil.
Who had come before him. Perhaps even worse. He was more controlling, committed genocide. And, huh?
I'd say Cromwell was worse.
Oh, yeah. He committed genocide in Ireland, outlawed Christmas celebrations, and all fun, and declared his son as their heir. What was meant to be a new beginning for the country turned out to be a brutal dictatorship, and so the people of England rebelled once again and were successful. And shortly after Cromwell died of malaria, the original heir of Charles I, Charles II, was appointed as king, restoring the monarchy. Despite already being dead, Cromwell was then beheaded himself for the Okay, I have to reread this. Cromwell died of malaria, the original heir, Charles I. Charles II was appointed the king, restoring the monarchy. Despite already being dead, Cromwell was then beheaded himself for the beheading of Charles I.
Yes.
Okay.
So they beheaded his dead body.
Yeah, that was stupid. And that's just, that's all I got. That's all the cool shit. Any questions, comments, concerns?
Do reindeer really know how to fly?
No, I don't know. I'm going to go outside. Hopefully it's still light out. It's light right now, but it was too damn hot earlier, and I almost killed myself in the heat. I did my herb garden. I just started it, and then the stuff that I'm growing, that like zucchini, squash, cucumbers, jalapenos, and shit like that. Well, I put them in their containers, and I hung them on the fence. This way, they will grow into the fence and not on the ground, because that's where you cause all your problems anyway. But the dogs, I don't want to take away their yard. So I'm going to do a little video of it, how I did it, and all that cool shit. I could have made it hydroponic. I could have made a hydroponic, but I didn't really feel like doing it. But we're going to make a greenhouse for the fall and winter. And hopefully it'll work. But I'll put that up on the – I'll make a little video and all that cool shit. So.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty tired. I mean, the heat was just so bad. It was 90-something degrees today. And I was outside before 2 o'clock. And
yeah,
I was outside
for 100.
An hour and a half. Yeah, it was 100 yesterday. And I was only out there from 12 to 1:30 or something. I left, went to Walmart, which we have no air conditioning in our truck right now because we have to there's a – not the blower fan, but there's a sensor. And the jackasses that own the vehicle, which is the dealership, instead of replacing the sensor, they did a splice and put a new fan, the blower motor, and it melted the wires. And it will keep doing it until you replace the sensor. That's what I was told today, last week. And they said it'll cost me about $50 to get it fixed for them to do it. I'm like, cool beans, fix it. Trying to think, I've got. Let me see. Yeah. See, it says. Here's one last thing. I'm just gonna skim over it. So it says, will America follow the path of past empires? Yeah, we're doing it right now. Clearly, America's present lone superpower status is being increasingly challenged, but could it be completely lost? While it clings to a general preeminence right now, could America still decline and fall? So, I don't think it's any different. I don't think it is. So the seven steps in the life cycles of great powers. Number one, the age of outburst or pioneers. The age of conquest, the age of commerce, the age of affluence, the age of intellect, the age of decadence, and the age of decline and collapse. And that's where we're at right now because of, you know, our lost morals and all that other crap. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. But this is something that people know that they should know. But they're just too proud to, so rampant sexual immorality and aversion to marriage in favor of living together and increased divorce rate, determined to undermine family stability. Too many foreign immigrants settle in the empire's capital and major cities. Hint, hint.
Well, I don't think the problem is illegal foreign immigrants. You know, ones that come here legally, they want to be part of our culture, our country. They want to be American.
See, we see today in the growing conflict in European countries such as France and the Netherlands, large numbers of immigrants are stoking violent cultural clashes.
Yep.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel recently made headlines when she stated that attempts to create a multicultural society had utterly failed. And immigrants must do more than integrate into society. Yeah.
Switzerland, I think it was Switzerland or Sweden, said that their crime rate in the last 10 years has drastically gone up, especially violent crime, because of the immigration.
This last one here is the government provides excessive welfare to the poor. In the case of the city of Rome, which perhaps 1.2 million people around 170 AD or whatever, the government provided bread and circuses, food and entertainment, kept them content. And, you know, so, but, yeah, are we paying attention? No, we're not. So I will, I'll post this article here too. Well, if anybody wants it, but don't care. But that's it. That's it. Oh, by the way, want to know what else is racist? I saw it today.
Breathing air.
Well, yeah, air was the last one. Hold on. It was, shit. I can't remember. It was something stupid. It, utterly ridiculous stupid. I about fell out my chair when I saw it. Hold on. Let me see if I can, nope. I did not save it. Damn it. I thought I saved it, but I didn't. But, yeah, it was something really stupid compared to air, which I still find that hard to believe, how air quality is racist.
Right.
But yeah, if you guys can think of anything else that's, I mean, utterly ridiculous as that. I mean, come on.
Well, did you see Kamala Harris today on the news?
No.
Saying that the shots, everybody got to get them because they don't believe what you hear. They're safe and effective. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but isn't Fauci the one who said it was all lies and bullshit?
Yep.
But we have to believe that they're safe. There was a soccer player, he's 27 years old, had a massive heart attack and just dropped during the soccer game. 27 years old. And the first thing they said was he did not have COVID and he did not get the damn vaccine. Because, this was in England. A lot of people, a lot of younger kids are getting those heart problems.
Kim, did he say that? I got that. His manager said that.
Oh, he didn't say it. He's still in the hospital in ICU.
Right.
He's in stable condition. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the team said it.
Right. And I mean, how much trust can you put in that?
I know. let me see if I can find. We got...
I mean, they're talking about this new variant, how it's attacking kids between the ages of 12 and 15, the ones that they're pushing to get the vaccine, when it turns out it's not affecting humans yet. At all, of any age.
No, I know. And I'm not even going to... I'm trying to
they can't keep their live streak.
Did you see what happened in D.C. Last week?
The flooding?
There's a military, huh?
The flooding?
Well, that too. It's all kinds of like clay-colored mud. No. They have a military camera in D.C., and it was in the middle of the night. And all of a sudden, you saw this big white flash go all over D.C. And someone said it was an EMP, but no, it couldn't have been. Are they being deep shit? They wouldn't have any power right now. Some were laughing. I think it was a power surge. Someone said that they let the they put the force field up. I said, try like they took it down. But, yeah, they have no idea what it was. But yeah,
there's a lot of weird shit going on in D.C.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just look at the White House.
You know, the fact that the lawns aren't being mowed. Richard just put up that the FBI building is not just closed. It's boarded up, literally boarded up.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, everyone knows that cops are racist, right? I mean, apparently that's what they are, right?
Yes.
White people trying to relate to people of color by saying, hey, it's all good, bro. So we're not allowed to say certain things. Snow is not racist. White witches. Snow White in the Seventh Dwarfs.
Okay.
Beauty pageants in which European beauty standards are overrepresented. White lies. Oh, my God.
Kim, why don't you find a list of things that aren't racist? I have a feeling it would be shorter.
Oh, no. There's, like, hundreds of things. There's just... this is like, I don't know, whatever the most, this is a list of 40 things that are racist, but I'm skipping some of the dumb ones. Not paying reparations. They paid reparations to black people in the 70s, by the way, or 80s. You weren't a slave. I owe nobody anything, so kiss my ass, get off the lazy butt, and get a job. We're not allowed a white person doing black dances. 1950 adverts portraying people of color as lazy watermelon eaters with enormous lips which vibrate with each snore. You can't make up stupid. I'm serious. Claiming one of my best friends is black is racist. Swans, sheep, white leopards, white rhinos, They deserve to become extinct. Saying if you're colorblind, that's racist.
Where are they getting where are they coming up with all this shit?
The rainbow. And how all the colors conveniently mix to form white. No, they don't. All the colors of the frickin' rainbow make black, dumbasses. Good Lord. Jeff Sessions, Donald Trump, believing that all people of color live in Chicago. Okay. Disagreeing with anything Obama said. Believing that there are more suitable candidates for the next president other than Michael Obama. They put Michael, not Michelle, by the way. Suggesting that all black men are well hung, run quickly, and are prone to crime. And, you know, oh, my God, this is I'm just skipping. If you ask people why can't we all just get along, that's racist. Brown flour, salt, white sugar, carbonated soda, and vanilla ice cream are racist. insisting that people of color can do more for themselves.
Come again?
And taking a... If you insist that people of color can do more for themselves. So if you insist that you're smart...
Do they not know how demeaning that sounds? Who's... I cannot believe that black Americans are saying this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. The survey, 69% of black Americans, or was it more than that? And maybe it was 78%. 78% of black Americans and think that we should have ID. I don't know where they're coming up with this crap that black Americans feel this way. The majority of black Americans are conservative and don't. Oh, my gosh. I don't know
See,
any black Americans that think this way. My youngest sister, who's black, does think that, you know, there is some racism and police, you know, are shit. But
well,
she
there
doesn't
is.
Believe the rest of this crap.
I can guarantee you this is all done by people under 30. Fact check, the United States is, was, and always will be racist. Then get the hell out of our damn country.
And stop
and it won't
inviting
be racist
more
anymore.
People in.
No, I just think I hate, you know, I mean, it's just like ridiculous. And SpongeBob is now racist.
Wait a minute, I thought he was gay.
I don't know, but he's racist, apparently, because he's just a sponge. Got me. I'm telling you, you just can't. Let's begin with something recent. This past weekend, the amiable. Listen here, you little ass. The amiable.
Oh, I got something funny.
Want
to hear something funny? Kamala Harris in South Carolina. They're telling her to get the hell out.
Yep. cold weather is now racist. It recently
God.
This is a direct quote. Yes, you heard that right. Racist cold weather. Cold weather is racist. Cold weather is racially profiled, segregates, gentrifies, colonizes, and appropriates, and is responsible for at least 90% of the unseasoned meat brought to company potlucks this month. It also possesses a changing agent that's, oh, my God. Yes, that was an actual quote. I'm telling you. You can't make this shit up, people.
So I guess I shouldn't tease my best friend anymore about her being on Black People Time, or my brother-in-law about being on Spanish Time. I guess those are races, too.
Oh, the solar eclipses are racist.
3 minute warning.
Go ahead, because I can't with this stupid shit anymore. This is just.
As usual, it was a great show there, Kim. A lot of good info.
Oh, no problem.
Yes, thank you.
Like
I appreciate
it. Thank everybody for tuning in, and Maria and Lorna, thank you for participating. God bless America. God bless our children, first responders, troops, veterans. God bless the Defender 7. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.